My name is Alan Leonard. I'm the editor-in-chief at Fact Check and I. Very pleased to be here, and I'm very grateful for Tracy Powell for inviting me to speak with yourselves. So I looked at your revised code of practice, and it immediately impressed upon me how much it reflects on our own code of practice that we work to. So I'm going to just introduce you to what Fact Check and I is, and using classic journalistic 5 W's and the how, we'll go through. So let's start by asking why fact checking. A survey in 2013 by the Royal Statistical Society and King's College London showed that public opinion is repeatedly off the mark on many issues, including crime, benefit, and immigration. For example, on average, respondents to the survey thought that 24% of the population was Muslim, where in fact it is 5% in England and Wales and less than 1% in Northern Ireland. The difference in perceptions and reality in relations to facts can have a negative impact on inter-community relations. With false memes that you see on Twitter and Facebook actually inciting hatred and violence. Fact-checking empowers citizens to participate in their public lives to exercise the most important civic duty and responsibility, to think critically and to make informed decisions. Our vision at Fact Check and I is a society where men don't foster volatile events. So Fact Check and I was established in April 2016. It was one of a dozen participants that was awarded grant funding in a civic activism program through Building Change Trust, who really got us off the ground. Fact Check and I is Northern Ireland's first dedicated fact-checking service. And fact-checking is a growing enterprise. According to Duke Reporters Lab in America, which maintains a database of fact-checking projects around the world, there are presently 149 active fact-checking projects and organizations. More locally, there is the journal.ie, which is an online newspaper based in Dublin. There's also the Ferret fact-checking service, which is based in Scotland. And there's Full Fact, based in London. In fact, we modeled our service on Full Facts because of their charitable setup. They operate as an educational charity. And indeed, Fact Check and I is a project of the Northern Ireland Foundation, which is an independent, nonprofit charitable organization based here in Belfast. The foundation is the lead organization, and we work in partnership with Transformative Connections, which is a social enterprise that focuses on the role of technology in promoting peace building and positive social change. And Transformative Connections is represented here by Orna Young with her partner Enda. They're both co-founders of Fact Check and I. So what does Fact Check and I do? Well, as the title says, we fact check claims for accuracy. And as I explained earlier, we don't question the motivation or intent of the person or organization making the claim. Our desire, rather, is to promote a political debate that is founded and rooted in numbers and facts, rather than stereotypes and prejudices. We publish all of our fact-check claims that we undertake research for, regardless of whether the conclusion is to validate the claim or to debunk it. So if you ever hear or see anything that makes you go, really? Then feel free to drop us a line at info@factcheckandi.org, and we'll check it out. The second service that Fact Check and I provides is training. So we train members of the public and young people in and out of school environments on fact-checking and anti-rumor techniques and processes. Training is provided by Transformative Connections, and it's delivered on-site in Northern Ireland as well as by webinar, if that suits. And a bit of a plug, we're still able to provide the service free of charge through the end of June, when because it's been subsidized by Building Change Trust. And again, if this is something that interests you or your organizations or those you work with, just please let us know. So to date, we have published over 40 fact-check claimed articles on our website, and we've trained well over 1,000 people. So where do we operate? Northern Ireland, of course. But I would like to add that we have a complementary cross-syndication agreement with the journal.ie and Full Fact. And it's been used several times. So whenever we publish something of interest to them and vice versa, we have an agreement to do that. And it's been very, very helpful. And in fact, with Full Fact, we have a very good working relationship with them. And they're really kind of at the cutting edge in regards to some of the research work that they're doing. So that's good to have them as partners. There's also, I was referring to the Duke Reporters Lab, there's an international fact-checking network that's supported by the Poynter Institute based in St. Petersburg. We're all online on Slack, exchanging information, and they also have annual summits. And so Orna and Enda went to one in London a few years ago, I attended one in Madrid, and a bunch of us are going for the next one in Rome in July. So who is involved with FactCheck and I? The project team consists of Enda, Orna, and myself. Our writers and researchers identify research and write up the articles. These will be volunteers, interns, and professional journalists. And we're guided by an advisory group reflecting the functions and the audiences of our work. That includes statistics, journalism, law, training, education, community engagement, and public affairs. And at this moment, I would like to especially express our gratitude to have on our team advisors from NISRA, Tracy Power and Claire Short, as well as Andy Mueni, who came on board early and have just added so much insight and value to the team. For me, it was when we learned that Full Fact had a member from ONS among its board. It was something that we internally really wanted to have, but then I realized I couldn't afford to second anyone, and so that's why I'm especially grateful that NISRA staff have volunteered their support. So, how does FactCheck and I conduct itself? And this gets into the code. Over the past few years, Alexis Manzarlis, who from the Poynter Institute, who did come over to Belfast at our launch event, has been engaged in discussions with the likes of Facebook and Google to try to find a way for fact-checking organizations to be part of the solution to the so-called fake news. And I have to say, the more accurate term is misinformation, not I don't agree with what you're saying. One result of Alexis's efforts was to have the opportunity for fact-checking organizations to be vetted in order to participate with some of these projects coming out of Facebook and Google. So they devised a code of principles. And FactCheck and I, we were one of the first to sign up to this voluntary code of principles. But it's now been more rigorous in that in order to participate in these projects, you have to be vetted independently. So IFCN brought that process around. And again, FactCheck and I was one of the first to be vetted in this way. So what I'd like to do is to translate this code of principles that fact-checking organizations sign up to your own revised code. So one, trustworthiness, a commitment to nonpartisanship and fairness. So we fact-check claims using the same standard for every fact-check. We do not concentrate our fact-checking on any one side. We follow the same process for every fact-check, and we let evidence dictate our conclusions. We do not advocate or take policy positions on the issues that we fact-check. A commitment to transparency of sources of information. We want our readers to be able to verify our findings themselves. So we have a lot of cross-links in our articles. We provide all sources in enough detail so that readers can replicate our work. A commitment to transparency of funding and our organization. We are transparent about our funding sources. We detail the professional background of everyone involved in our organization. And we clearly indicate a way for readers to make contact with us. 2, quality. A commitment to transparency of methodology. We explain the methodology we use to select, research, write, edit, publish, and correct our fact checks. We encourage readers to send us claims to fact check, and we are transparent on why and how we fact check. A commitment to open and honest corrections. We publish our corrections policy and follow it scrupulously. We correct clearly and transparently in line with our corrections policy. 3, value. Your revised code defines value as about producing statistics that support society's need for information. Ours would be the same. It's about producing fact-checked articles so that individuals, citizens, and voters can have the most accurate information available for their own analysis and decision-making. As an aside on the big debate about the influence in the US presidential election, there's a lot of heat talking about the influence of the misinformation. I think it's very important to remember the power of agency, that even with misinformation out there, we all must remember that individually we each have our own agency to act. And so we shouldn't just say that misinformation is so powerful that it removes people's ability to think. I think my opinion is, our response is, no, we need to remind people of their ability to think critically. We believe that nonpartisan and transparent fact-checking can be a powerful instrument of accountability journalism. Conversely, unsourced or biased fact-checking can increase distrust and pollute public understanding. So at Fact Check and I, we would also add that fact-checking can be a part of a peace-building process. At the time of our launch, I was interviewed by Noel Thompson on Good Morning Ulster, and he asked me, how will we know if you guys are being effective in your work? So instead of giving him the metrics that we had agreed with our funders, which had been easy to do, I replied, the next time there's a viral meme going out there about a riot that's about to take place in Belfast City Hall, you won't report it because it won't happen, because someone that we've trained will have done a simple reverse image search on Google to show that the image that they saw on Facebook was from 5 years ago in a different place, and they realize that somebody's trying to put them up to something, right? So it's one of those things that sometimes can be hard to measure impact, but not training people how to use tools will not help. And so for me, that's two parts of the solution to misinformation. Having online tools that are easy to use, but back with practical training and establishing the value of critical thinking. A final perspective is that we should consider ourselves relatively fortunate that we operate in an environment where the professionalism and independence of our work is respected and defended. The fact that we can have a code of practice that will elevate our standards. We meet other fact checkers around the world at these summits. And it really makes me take a step back when we meet those where just basic journalism is physically threatened and where government agencies are thoroughly corrupted. And so for them, the challenge of trying to encourage the population to think critically when there's so much unreliable information out there, I think it's just important to keep that. So my final comment is that it is crucial to ensure that trustworthiness, quality, and value are in all of our work. And we actually want the public to demand that from us, because I would argue that's the best way forward for our democracy. Thanks very much.